Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Hello from where we are to where you are on this groovy Wednesday night, November 15th. I am Blake, your host on here on the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Got another great episode for you guys. I'm joined by Tyler and Rob as always. How are we doing, guys?
We're doing good. Another full roster, 2 weeks in a row. That's crazy news. Oh,
you know who doesn't have a full roster is Iowa football.
Bop, bop.
Oh, that sucks for you. Got another good show, like I said before. Same shiz as always. We're going to hit up some news and notes, talk over some injuries and some actually relatively breaking news that happened over the last couple of days in the world of the NFL. Go through our week.
Breaking news.
Who said the word?
I love that.
We're not even in the news section, Tyler. This is still intro.
Yeah, but you did say the
phrase.
News, so
yeah, you said the phrase breaking news. So,
God, I didn't know he was on a fucking hair trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy. Got a couple trades to talk through. The gut check, which will be wherever I decide it is. And then we'll hit up our matchup.
Was that not the right time?
No, it was not. Not at all. I'll let you know.
He did say gut check, so.
Oh, boy. Before we get into everything and talk about our news here in the NFL, I wanted to – we're getting – playoffs are close. Christ.
They are getting close. You're correct.
Oh, boy. Yeah, playoffs are what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks out?
Well, three, Jack.
This is week 11 coming up, and week 14, I believe, is the end of the regular season. So yeah, 11, 12, 13, 14. So 4 weeks, yes.
I wanted to, because I know the three of us are all in multiple fantasy leagues, be them dynasty or redrafts, best balls, whatever. Starting with Tyler, just what is your general feeling about your fantasy life getting down to the line here, the witching hour, so to speak, of the regular season?
Yeah, I guess in thinking about like my fantasy life, I think the overarching thing, and we've talked about this all year, is that I'm in probably two too many leagues, and it has bit me in the ass where I can't focus on like bag. You know, I'm generally one of the more active people in bag, and I'm probably middle of the road this year, if not bottom half.
Yeah, you're fucking bottom.
Yeah, I know, and so it has significantly impacted, you know, my ability to get players and stuff like that because I'm in too many leagues. But as far as thinking about the general NFL season, I think that my biggest takeaway is that if you, with scoring being so far down and fantasy being so much less dependent on touchdowns, I think that that really opens up the door for these breakouts like Puka Nacua, like Nico Collins, you know, these guys that become the focal point of their offenses that maybe in past years, you know, would have been overshadowed by the three touchdown game by AJ Brown or Antonio Brown, even better. Right. If we're looking at the past. And now it's like, hey, if you can get 100 yards, you're the guy, like you're the number one on our fantasy team. So I think that's the biggest takeaway to this point, fantasy wise.
Yeah. Rob, why don't you, what are you feeling right now? Where's your mindset? Oh. You're in probably the fewest leagues out of the three of us. So
yeah, I'm in two that count. And, my mindset is sweet jubilation because of my win last week against Terry, it locked in the fact that I have no way to be in last place this year. I could lose the rest of the season and I can't get in last place. So, boom, I see how Whitefish is back next year for another round. So that's really my main takeaway, is that I'm finally winning in a redraft rather than doing terrible like I had the last 2 years. In Dynasty, which is the other league I'm in, I'm doing what I usually do, which is win. I'm on a little bit of a bad streak after starting out really well, but, you know, we'll see. But I'm very positive this year. How about you, illustrious host?
Panic. That's where I'm at. That's where my life is in fantasy football, because, I mean, I've mentioned it on this show several times. I'm in what? four leagues, two Dynasty, two Redraft, two that I care about, this one and our Drunken Dynasty. In Drunken Dynasty, it's panic mode for me because I've won last year, and I'm trying desperately to get back into the playoffs to make another run at it. After losing last week, I've been shuttled from second place down to fifth place, which is not a great feeling. Not happy about that. And then in this league, you know, it's my biggest accomplishment. I've never missed the playoffs. I mean, relative danger to do that this year. Looking especially ahead at my future matchup. So that's kind of what I'm in fantasy in general right now.
Fun. All right.
All right. Well,
behind the curtain for everybody there.
Yeah, let's get into our news, boys.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
Have a new, like a new bumper. News boys, they're doing the news and they are boys. Something weird.
Oh, you should get the clip that's like, I'm Huey Lewis and you just heard the news. That would be a cool one. Come on.
Listen, you two are welcome to do any of these things. I am just waiting for the first time either of you contributes anything to this podcast.
Wow. Great. I'll send you a clip maybe if I think about it. All right, Blake.
All right, so let's hit it first and foremost, that breaking news. Tyler, you want to play that bumper again?
Breaking news.
Yeah, Bills fire offensive coordinator. I forget his name. Daly? I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, the replacement for the rest of the season is Joe Brady. That was an abysmal offensive performance, or just mostly, I mean, the defense is fine, I guess, for the Bills on Monday night, but real bad on the offense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gave a pass to the defense, but they let Denver go down and score the winning field goal after Buffalo had taken the lead on the quarterback run by Allen, and they just go down and kick the last second field goal to win, so... I wouldn't give the defense a pass either. That defense has been injured, so maybe there's your pass, but they haven't been playing well as a team all year.
Yeah, so if you guys remember, Joe Brady came to prominence being the head guy for the best offense college football has ever seen, which was the offense with LSU of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, to be fair, he put them in spots to succeed, but goddamn, did you have some fucking talent on that offense? So, you know, I don't know. It didn't work out in Carolina, but that was kind of a weird situation where Matt Rhule was coaching to keep his job, and it didn't seem like that really meshed. So I have high hopes for the Bills going forward. As far as the Bills team, I think they're in must win the rest of the way. I think they're 5-5. And if they lose, I saw a stat and I'm just going to pull it out of my ass and we're going to see if it's right. If I remember correctly, they have like 5 games that they're projected to win pretty handedly. And if they lose any of those 5, their playoff odds tank to like 20%. And so them and the Bengals actually are in similar situations where it's must win from here on out.
Yeah, but two totally different pictures that you're looking at. The Bengals offense looking like it's starting to click. The Bills offense starting to shatter before our very eyes.
Well, Bengals is a lot of injuries, right? Whereas the Bills, right, it's just been bad ever since Dable.
Yes, and the Bengals started out slow. I mean, to be fair, they had injuries at the beginning of the year, you know, chief among the quarterback. You know, it took him, 4 or 5 weeks just to start playing like himself. So I give them a little bit of a pass, but yeah. I mean, Buffalo gets the Jets this week, who beat them in the first game when Rodgers went down on play 4. So I give the Jets a puncher's chance to beat them and make them under 500 for the first time in I don't know how many years. So it's bad news bears all around for the Bills.
Yeah. injuries, getting to the set the worst one first, that it was actually pretty a relative surprise today. Deshaun Watson looked really good playing last week, like he was almost back to form. Turns out today, his season is over, going on IR with a shoulder injury. Sounds like he hurt it in the first quarter of that game, broke a bone off in his shoulder, and is, done. Dunzo.
Yeah, and it was a combination, I think, of both the shoulder and the ankle. They said that he did have a high ankle sprain, which is what sent him out in the fourth quarter, something like that. So he had the high ankle sprain. That's where they got the first MRI, and they're like, yeah, let's check this too. And went and checked the shoulder, and they're like, yeah, you got a broken bone in there. And obviously he's been having shoulder problems all year. They say this is a completely new one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's completely different than the rotator cuff he was having. It's not related at all, so.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't see the injury, so I don't know if that's a case of, like, maybe it was weakened or what. But, you know, anytime you have two injuries to the same mechanism, same year, you got to think that they're similar, right? And, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think I saw was the Browns statement that they put out was so pro Deshaun Watson, where all year we've been like, what's going on with Deshaun Watson? What's going on with the shoulder? He's sitting out. Why is he sitting out? Blah, blah, blah. And this statement was like, here's everything that's happening with Deshaun. We commend him for coming back into the game and trying to play through it. But at this point, we have to recommend that he, you know, goes and gets it fixed and goes from there. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for going forward, is that the Browns are behind Deshaun.
Well, yeah, they need to be, because they put the financials behind him pretty much. They can't really get out of that. But also, the scuttlebutt has been that the joke is that he's been playing, you know, he could have played weeks ago with the rotator cuff thing. He was cleared but sat out, and that, you know, there was kind of that underlying joke. He actually, I read a report today that he wanted to continue to play with the injury, and they told him, no, you cannot. You will do serious damage to your shoulder if you get hit on that again, and will, jeopardize your future. So that's why they shut him down. So that tells me that report was, you know, the earlier reports were maybe a little hyperbole.
So what do we think of the Browns going to the rookie, Dorrell Thompson, yep, Robinson?
I was going to bring that up. Dorian Thompson, yep, Robinson, yes, rookie, not going back to PJ Walker, who's been pretty much the relief guy. Yep. And every time that there's been a mid game quarterback change, Walker's going to be the backup. And Dorian Thompson Robinson going forward.
So
the only time we've seen him this year was early on, when he, that surprise deactivation of Watson. He had like a day to prepare.
He didn't even have that, Blake. It was like in pregame warmups.
It was pregame, yeah.
Yes. And it was like, hey, kid, you're in. And then, you know, he didn't do very well. Well, PJ Walker has stunk up the place in the starts that he's had. And Stefanski, is that the coach for the Browns, I think? Yeah. Stefanski said today that, hey, Dorian's got a heck of a lot better since that time. He just kind of got it thrust on him that day, and we've got faith in him, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't have much faith in PJ Walker. I mean, obviously it's a big blow to all the Cleveland offensive players.
Well, and you know what, I think we're up to 14 starting quarterbacks out. That's like,
right,
or currently out, something like that. And you know what I can say about Thompson Robinson? He's going to be fun. He was fun in the preseason. He's going to be fun to watch. It's not a game on the slate that you're just not going to care about, because, you know, there's nothing happening. He's going to do fun shit. And whether that fun shit is like throwing a 50-yard interception into triple coverage, or whether the fun shit is, you know, running and breaking tackles, at least he's going to do something fun and not just be like Brett Rippin out there.
Yeah. And he gets a full week of practice knowing he's going to be the starter rather than, hey, surprise. So we'll see how he does. And hey, this could be a good story. I mean, maybe they're in a good position, and maybe he is good the rest of the way. Who knows?
All right, Taylor Heinicke, questionable. Got pulled after what I think it was a hamstring, is what they attributed it to.
Yep.
In the fourth quarter last week, brought Ritter in to close out the game. I know, Rob, you and I were watching, like, did Heinicke just get benched for Ritter for, like, and no reason?
Yeah, because they didn't, the broadcast didn't mention that he had a hamstring, but he did, and that's why he was pulled, though he wasn't doing very well. I mean, neither quarterback's really done well outside of one game for the Riddler. They're on a bye. I guess they'll assess. It'll be really weird if the stash, or non-stash, I guess he shaved it, goes back to the Riddler, because how can you, after getting benched for Heinicke, go back? I don't know what they're doing there.
No, the answer is very clear. You have to put Tyler Allgeier at quarterback because he's the best football player ever known. He's the best thing since Taysom Hill.
He is
could be Jonnu Smith. Listen, here's what we do.
Boom.
Here's what Jonnu we do. Smith backfield, Jonnu Smith, Tyler Allgeier. You want to be real tricky? You don't even know who's going to catch the ball. You line them up on either side of center, and the center snaps it one way or the other.
And they throw to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonnu gets it, throws it to Allgeier. Allgeier gets it, throws it to – oh, yeah, that's perfect. Love it. Great offense. Oh,
amazing.
All right.
fuck that guy. Alexander Mattison, concussion during the game. We'll talk about it more when we get into the waiver claims, but didn't practice today, probably out this week, like we've talked about many, many times. Yeah. And you get a concussion on Sunday, you're not playing the next Sunday.
Well, one person cleared that I can think of.
Yeah. Brockhamis Purdius.
Brockhamis Purdius is the only one that I know of and he didn't even get, so the difference is everybody else has been knocked out of a game with a concussion. He did not, completed the game, and then reported symptoms later and entered the protocol. So his is a little different. He didn't, wasn't debilitated by it. So, yeah, he's missing this game pretty much for sure.
Okay. so this team is fun as hell to watch, especially in the last couple of weeks. The Houston Texans have Damian Pierce not practicing again this week. Fire up your Devin Singletary. 30 carries, 150 yards last week for Devin Singletary.
Isn't that a high on both ends for him career-wise? Yeah. Most carries he's ever had, most yards he's ever had?
As somebody who started him in another redraft league last week, along with C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell, I am feeling fantastic.
I mean, the Texans are completely different than last year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Last year, pitiful offense. You could run all day long on them. This year, no, you don't really want to run against this team. And the offense can handle its own, obviously. And C.J. Stroud is looking like, hey, Carolina, maybe you should have picked him instead.
So, question for you guys. How much of the Houston's success do we attribute to C.J. Stroud, Pep Hamilton, who's the OC, or D'Amico Ryans? How do you split that? Do you think that they are just putting CJ Stroud in the best possible opportunities to win, that sort of thing? Do we think it's coaching, or do we think it's talent at the quarterback position that's carrying it?
I think it's a lot like, well, Detroit's a bad answer because the quarterback there was a veteran quarterback in Jared Goff, but it's a very similar situation as far as the coaching aspect goes. D'Amico Ryans is a guy who's been around the league and, played in the league as a leadership role, coached in the league as a leadership role, as a coordinator. And now especially when you're a player's head coach for the team that you played for, you bring a special kind of energy into the building. I mean, Dan Campbell did it. Antonio Pierce for the Raiders. He wasn't a Raider. He was a Giant, wasn't he?
Well, as a player, yes.
Yeah, but still. Players, coaches come in, bring a special kind of energy. Even the Colts in there that one game last year with Jeff Saturday, he brought up a special energy in. And so I think that's a big part of it. But also all the things that I've been hearing and reading about out of Houston in reference to C.J. Stroud is he does everything. He is a leader behind closed doors. He's a leader on the field. He's poised, calm in every situation that they put him in. He's making requests of the coaching staff already. I don't know. I everything I hear, it's him. He's just him, Also, D'Amico Ryans has changed the culture in Houston completely.
So, yeah, to answer Tyler's question, I believe, and it goes exactly what you said. It is all three. I believe it's a quarterback first, and then it's coach and offensive coordinator. And I believe that because those three are real close, but it's always the talent. You got to have talent at quarterback. It doesn't matter if you're a great coach. You can't, you know, like they say, you can't get blood out of a turnip. I think C.J. Stroud is doing well because his coach has put him in a good position. He's got talent, all of that. And they're all almost equal. You know what I'm saying? If you put them on a level, you can have great talent, but have shitty coach. And then you're not going to do well because you need to have that all, you know, at the same level or at least close to it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're like hitting that perfect storm of everything. Where in Carolina, maybe Young has the talent. We haven't seen it, but the coaching and the situations they're being put in are terrible. And
Nope. It is the quarterback in Carolina.
Okay. Well, fine.
And straight up.
That's why I said maybe he has a talent.
We all said that Frank Reich was a great coach when he was in Indy, or at least an above average coach. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're terrible. Why are they terrible? They have a new quarterback. And it's like, oh, because the owner picked the quarterback. That's why. The guy that has nothing to do with football operations picked the quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What? You got something else on this?
Nope.
Cool. Justin Jefferson, unlikely to play this week, coming off the hamstring. Do you think we'll see him in week 12?
Probably. Especially if they keep winning, right? Right, Tyler?
When was the 21-day window activated?
I think it was last week sometime.
Let me look.
Take a look. Because it may not have to be next week. It could be the week after. So it could be week 12.
I know I saw it recently.
I mean, 13, excuse me. Next week is week 12, though.
Okay, so they have a week 13 bye. It looks like 21-day window was opened on the 8th.
Yep, okay.
So that would take them to the 29th.
So that would mean that, let's see, 11, 12. So that means that theoretically, he would have to be activated before the bye.
Before their bye week. After their next two games.
Yep.
But he doesn't have to play until after the bye week. So he would basically get not 21 days, he gets 35 days.
Correct, because they have the bye.
Yeah.
Which,
lucky dog.
And he's already come out and said, I'm not playing till I'm 100%.
Yeah.
Yep. So, there's no reason for him to. So,
no.
Or to play before then.
If you got him in redraft, you're probably not counting on him this year, unless you're going to make the playoffs. And if you have him in a dynasty, you're like, okay, he's coming back and we'll see you next year.
Let's see. We can talk about T. Higgins, already ruled out with the hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned on this podcast many times? Because I know I've mentioned it in our group chats and things. T. Higgins is never trustworthy. If he has an injury at any point in a fucking football season, that man is done for you, and he will never be on a team for me.
I mean, it seems that way. He's a player that's drafted because he has these big bang-up games, but yeah, this year, I think he's had one good game. He hasn't been worth it, so you're right.
Yeah, I think T. Higgins is a guy that, at least in Dynasty, I'm really looking at where he lands after this year, I believe. I believe he's done in Cincy, and I doubt they're going to be able to re-sign him. And so, hey, if all of a sudden he signs in Houston and is the wide receiver one there and Tank Dell is the two, and or Collins is the two and Tank Dell is the slot guy, hey, that may all of a sudden be a thing. Or, hey, he signs in Carolina and he's the new Adam Thielen. You know, I think the future is still bright for T. Higgins. Or could
be. And then finally, we've got Keenan Allen. injured his shoulder towards the end of the game after having a monster game that nobody prescribed against me in fantasy. So thanks for that one, Keenan. But he did not practice today. I don't know how serious that shoulder injury is. But it did help hold him out for the rest of the game after he got injured.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. He didn't practice today, so I know that. But he's also a veteran, so it would be a big blow to that offense. It would be a big blow to everybody, even Austin Eckler, if Keenan Allen didn't play this week. So it's one to monitor, because a lot of players hinge on that. So,
all right, that's all I've got. Oh no, I wanted to end this on some good news.
Let's go.
Because we got two major players returning. Their practice window has been open and everything. Devon Achane and Pat Freiermuth both look like they have a very good chance to play this weekend.
I mean, Achane obviously is the bigger one, because he was like a monster for the first however many weeks he was around. His return, whether it's this week or next week, obviously takes a little bit of the luster off of Raheem Mostert, who's done decent in his stead. But and Freiermuth, I don't care about, because Pittsburgh, they just stopped throwing to the tight end this year.
Yeah, well, let me play a clip here of Mike McDaniel talking about Devon Achane this week.
Achane, I know you talked about him earlier. Given what you know about his injury, is he the type of guy that you'd be able to put back in his typical workload, or would you have to ease him?
Dude, what kind of money do you have in fantasy football?
Achane, I know you talked about him earlier.
Yeah, I saw that TikTok just before I went to physical therapy today, and I laughed.
Yeah, oh, I think that, you know, the good part is with Achane, if you're expecting him back or you need him back for your team, he is not a guy that needs 20 carries in order to score. He needs to take one. And I think the other really good news that came out, I think late last week, probably after the podcast, was that they said, look, he's probably a guy, or he probably, the injury, he probably could have played with a brace, but they were like, dude, we have Mostert, we have Jeff Wilson coming back, we have Ahmed, like, we can make it through, we need you for the playoffs. And so the fact that he could have played with a brace, and they're like, nah, we'll put you on IR, we'll live, and then we'll come back and play. I don't expect many, if any, limitations at all for Achane.
Yeah, I hope he gets activated for week 12. That would be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
All right, Tyler, let's hit our gut check.
Oh boy, you just mix things up on me.
All right, boys, what is everybody drinking tonight? I personally, I've got a glass of bourbon, which has been fantastic. Sam's Club bourbon, super cheap, pretty tasty. And I've got a vodka ice as well.
Jeez.
I am rocking a Empress 1908 gin. I don't think 1908 was the year it was brewed. I think that's just the name. In fact, I guarantee you it is, because, right. Yeah, with lemonade.
Oh, and I'm doing your second drink, vodka ice.
Vodka and sparkling ice, flavored.
Mine's a mix of cherry and black raspberry.
Nice. All right, let's get into the transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right, short transaction, or at least waivers report today. Starting from the bottom, Tyler, the Reapers add the Dolphins defense and Jaden Reed. I like the Jaden Reed add, just in general going forward. He's one of those rookie receivers that could have a nice breakout, especially for a team that's right on the edge. They're fighting for replacement in the NFC North. Just going to go through them, and then I'm going to let you guys go back and talk about them quick. All right. Got Commanders defense added for $2 for the Corn Wieners. And then several teams attempting to get Ty Chandler, the running back for Minnesota. $4, $7, $8, $12 goes to Fly Eagles Fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, $12 for Ty Chandler is cheap, especially if, I mean, Madison should be back next week, but, you know, they were already kind of working Ty Chandler in. I was expecting him to go for around 20. I didn't really need that guy on my bench. I don't see like the upside with Chandler, I guess, especially in our league where you need that 100-yard bonus to really be super like a star, right? But in other leagues where there's not that 100-yard bonus, I threw down 20, 26, you know, that sort of thing on him.
Yeah. I did, because if you look at my roster, pretty much the way I built it is the running backs on my bench are backups to my starters. So this was a chance for me to get somebody that has a chance to do something that's not one of my starters. So that's why I put the 12 spot.
All right.
Well,
let me talk
quick about the waivers that I was going to talk about before you cut me off earlier.
Oh,
I figured you'd go right into it, and then there was
I was going to. So I actually had, I don't, it says that I had Jaden Reed above the Dolphins. I had the Dolphins above Jaden Reed in this pickup. And just a pro tip, if the Dolphins are out there in any league you're in, go pick them up. Even if you have a good defense, go pick them up. They just got Ramsey back. And so it's Xavien Howard and Ramsey on the outside. And the rest of the year, Vegas this week, great. Jets, Washington, Tennessee with a rookie. Jets, then Dallas, then Baltimore. But they could legitimately carry you for the next 5 weeks. So if you're even struggling at all on defense, if you have a solid defense, but you're not, like, you have a couple of weeks in there where you're facing Kansas City or Philly or Dallas or whatever, go pick up the Dolphins.
All right. Are we ready to talk about these trades?
Sure. Do it.
So we had two trades, each happen in the last, like, I don't know, 48 hours, 36 hours, something like that, whatever the math turns out to be. They were separate, but they were both between myself and Rob. So we're just going to talk about it as if they were one trade. Does that make sense, Rob?
That sounds good. Yeah, I do.
As well.
Yes.
So as far as the players go in this trade, I traded away George Pickens and Drake London, and in return got Najee Harris and Jared Goff. There was also 8 total fab that I sent Rob's way in this trade. So, Tyler, if you want to tackle it first, just say what it looks like from the outside looking in.
From the outside looking in, it looks like you got.
I always say that, and I never think you're right.
Well, no shit, you never think I'm right, because you made the dumb trades. Najee Harris is the backup now, first of all. So, congrats.
Do you know who has the starter, though?
I did. So, congrats on trading a, you know, top, whatever, 30 wide receiver for a backup running back. And then on the other side, Drake London for Jared Goff, you have Josh Allen. So, why do you need and or want Jared Goff? And why would you trade Drake London for that? So, neither one makes sense. Both are dumb. Move on.
Wow.
So, George Pickens is not getting the targets that I would like to see him getting in that Steelers off that passing offense.
You know who else isn't getting the work in the Steelers offense is Najee Harris.
I have Jalen Warren, so now I have a handcuff there. I have Dalvin Cook to handcuff my Breece Hall. That was a big major part of it. George Pickens was an ancillary part of my receiving core. I've got the core I have, Mike Evans, Amon-Ra, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Hopkins. I don't need George Pickens or Drake London. They're both pieces that can be traded away. Getting Jared Goff helps for this week and for week 13, which is Josh Allen's bye. Coming off of an OC change, the pitiful last two performances for Josh Allen, and playing the Jets this week, no thank you. I'll take the super stack of Jared Goff, Amon-Ra, and Sam Laporta going into this week.
And excuse me, the reason I did it was because I looked ahead to week 13, where I was going to have to play certain people because of buys, and I wanted choices. So I got wide receiver choices, and again, I made the Najee offer because Blake had Warren, hey, you want to do this? And then Blake made the Jared Goff offer today. So we each did each one and ended up what we did. So that's why.
Obviously I'm slightly in jest, but I do think that, like, what I view Najee as is a handcuff. at this point. You realistically can't play either with any sort of confidence. So you're just holding on to either one in the hope that...
I don't know. I think you could play Warren.
I think you play Warren with pretty certain confidence.
And if for some reason he got hurt because is Warren, overused over the next week or two, then you have the clear-cut number one.
You could play Warren if you're expecting 10 points. Last week he got 23, but that was his first time ever getting over 100 this year. So, yeah, you could play Warren if you want 10 points. And that's what I'm saying is, in our league, that like that's not going to win you a championship is playing 10 points. And so you're getting those guys in the hope that one of them gets hurt. Whereas Pickens still has that upside. So fine. If you think that that's lateral, I'm fine with that. The Goff for London side, I'm always going to err on the side of skill players because they're just so much harder to acquire than quarterbacks are. And yeah, you hedged against a bye week, potential bye week fill in. I just think you could have got one. You could have got one off of the waiver wire and been fine. Although, to your credit, you are fighting tooth and nail for the playoffs as well. So there's that as well. So
also true. And just kind of, I'm trying to follow my heart a little bit more, which I've gotten away from this year.
Oh, you think, Mr. Three Lions in your lineup?
It's worked for me in the past.
Hey.
And I mean, Jared Goff's matchup or strength of schedule going for the rest of the year is not bad. I mean, the Lions are hot, so I'm going to take that chance. And I'd rather have, for the week 13 bye, I'd rather have the stack that I have now than Jess Baker and Mike Evans. So we'll see.
Yeah, you better hope the Lions never, ever have a bad week.
Yeah, if they do, oh well, I made a bad choice. What are we going to do?
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
All right. Well, doing what I was doing, Tyler, was not working. So I got to make a fucking change.
I think you nailed it on the head there, Tyler, is that he's fighting to make the playoffs. He's making moves instead of trying to be analytical, which hasn't helped this year. He's following his heart. I applaud it. I think it was
sure
a good
you
move
do
for
applaud
both of
it,
us.
Mr. Beneficiary. No.
I'm not that big of a beneficiary. It's not like I can depend on either one of these receivers. They're just fill-ins.
Listen, all I want is one time that Blake is following his heart for him to text me. That's all I'm saying. Seems like every time Blake is following his heart, he texts you and tells you to get the lube out.
Wow. Oh, that seems egregious. We should move on to matchups.
All I can say is that both these pieces that Tyler thinks were obviously the best parts are both wide receivers. We know Tyler's history with wide receivers.
Yeah, that's also true.
My history with wide receivers is evaluating them out of the draft, and you know this.
Yeah.
Which is why Marvin Harrison, easy first pick.
Okay, and that's why he's going to stink up the NFL next year.
This is definitely not me scared that I don't have the 102 pick.
Yeah, no, he's gonna get hurt his rookie year, tear his ACL, and he'll never be the same. Oh, and then his Achilles probably.
Let's move on.
Okay, fine.
What would you like to move on to?
The matchups, dummy.
Okay.
Yeah, dummy.
We only have one segment left.
You could have more segments. You want more segments? I got more segments.
What a snake ass.
The Bulldogs.
Yale Bulldogs.
Yeah, wow.
Not so fast.
All right. Our first, well, before we get into it, because I always fuck this up. Tyler, how did we do last week?
That is a good question. So last week, I fucked up. Taking myself. Mistake on my part. 4-1 for me. Dice also took me. Fuck up. 3-2 for them. And Blake and Rob, 5-0.
Woo-hoo! Oh, solid work.
Hey, play just those air horns from the breaking news bumper.
What's our year thing?
On the year, and honestly, damn. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
So let's see. We're 11 weeks in. 11 times 5 is 55, right?
No, we're only 10 weeks in.
We're 10 weeks in. That's right. Yeah. That's perfect. Because okay, let me tell you, you guys have... The dice only have 45, so I don't know when that got fucked up.
Nah, who knows?
I know I only have 45, but I did miss 1 week. So on the year, let's see, dice 22 and 23.
I'm pretty sure that Rob and I forgot the dice week one.
Okay.
That's highly possible, yes.
Dice 22 and 23, so 50-50 shot. Tyler, 28 and 17. Oh, no, sorry. Blake, 30 and 20 for a 600 winning percentage.
Woo!
Tyler, 28 and 17 for a 622.
Yeah.
And Rob, 36 and 14 for a 720.
Damn.
That's pretty good.
All right. Let's keep this train a moving, Rob. Let's get him right all this week. Our first matchup is the 5-5. Here's Tubby, projected 143 points versus the almost undefeated 9-1 Hawaiian Shockers.
Oh my God.
Projected 150.
They just keep rolling, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. So, Rob, let's go through Tubby.
All right.
We got Brock Purdy home against Tampa at the quarterback spot. Brock, look in that San Francisco offense, looking good off the bye last week against Jacksonville.
Agreed.
Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne are the running backs here. Christian Kirk and Adam Thielen are the receivers, both at home. Trey McBride at Houston is the tight end. Jamar Chase and Curtis Samuel. Samuel's carrying a Q tag. I think he's been carrying a lingering injury, hasn't he?
He's missed a couple games, been Q for a little while.
Yeah, toe injury.
He's
flexes, and then the 49ers defense. So what's his starter? What's his lineup look like?
I mean, pretty good. I mean, you know, you don't love the matchup against Baltimore for Jamar Chase, but he's Jamar Chase. You love how Trey McBride, the big wonder for Arizona was, you know, with Murray coming back, was he going to look to Trey McBride? Oh, God, yes. He looked to Trey McBride. Did he not?
Boy, sorry to interrupt you, but boy, did watching Trey McBride's breakout last week make me lament the fact that I couldn't get a Trey McBride trade done in Dynasty in the preseason.
Oh,
I wanted it so bad.
I mean, earlier in the year, you would not like Etienne against Tennessee because Tennessee was so good against the run, but that's kind of deteriorated as the year has gone by. I don't like Adam Thielen against Dallas. I will say that much, but your weak spot here is Curtis Samuel. I mean, at best he's going to get you 10 points. So I don't know what, I don't know. Yeah. You've got to have something better. I hope.
What do you think about Adam Thielen this week? Very, very productive receiver for this year, which surprised a lot of people, but playing, against Dallas this week.
Well, I said just a little, just before I was talking about Samuel, that I don't like him against Dallas.
Does Frank Reich taking back play calling duties change that for you?
Does it? I don't know. Maybe.
That was when Thielen was like superb. So let me go look at the game log here. So
okay.
I believe he gave him up after the bye and Thielen went 15, 7, and 10.
Right.
But before that, he was averaging like 30.
So,
and that was when Reich was the play caller.
So if he took it, he took it back. And if that's the case,
he is taking it back.
He's okay. I mean, it makes it better, but a lot of those defenses, pass defenses that he stacked up against aren't as good as Dallas's, even without Diggs. So I put it in between the crap and the great. So he should do okay. He should get you about 15 points. Maybe up to 20.
Take a look at the bench here, Rob. I have an extenuating circumstance that I need to deal with.
Okay. Well, the bench, I mean, Kamara, unfortunately, is on a bye, so that hurts you. There really isn't much here. I'm not playing Njoku, even though he's got good matchups coming up this year over McBride, who's hot. You've got nothing here.
I'll tell you what.
Playing his optimal lineup.
If you want to get Curtis Samuel out, Christian Watson against the Chargers, who have been bad defensively all year. And just for a glory play.
You could.
I don't hate it.
Especially if he's, I mean, both are questionable. Watson, you know, what's his injury again? A shoulder or something like that. So it's not like it's his wheels and he's a speed guy. So he'll probably be fine. You're right.
Ooh.
Against the Chargers.
Oh, you know what I just saw?
I mean, because Samuels is a toe, right?
Christian Watson taken in the fourth round of our fantasy draft.
Yeah, way too early.
Woof.
Yeah, that is a woof. And that's why this team's 5-5. You know, Tyler, I would probably do that. I would probably play Watson because his injury is a shoulder. which doesn't affect the speed. Curtis Samuel's injury is a toe, which I don't like a toe injury on any skill position players. So, yeah, if you're going to make a change here, that's probably what I do.
All right. I'll jump into the Shakas.
Yeah.
Tua against Vegas. Vegas has been good defensively, although I think, at least against the pass, although I think that's more of a facet of them being down and teams being able to run on them.
Yeah, so and I also them playing the Jets and Giants the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I expect this this to be a Mostert and potentially Achane week. Not so much a Tua week. Jahmyr Gibbs against Chicago, love it. DeAndre Swift against Kansas City, hate it. Okay.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, absolutely blazing fire ever since Dallas's bye week, ever since they changed up the offensive schemes and getting movement going.
I don't know what they did, but 3 150-yard games in a row.
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what they did, Rob. Dallas moved into the top five in motion rate before the snap, and also they are
because they were in the bottom 10.
Correct. They were in the bottom 10. And also they are number one in passing expectation over average on first downs. So they're throwing the ball on first down and getting their guys open. And that's has been and the change. It's been a it's a tangible change in the Dallas offense. And I was just talking to a buddy this morning, and we were, you know, we're just putting in a dumbass parlay for Sunday, right? And I'm like, I like the Dallas over. And he's like, dude, Dak is due for one of his bad games. And I'm like, there's a tangible change that's happening here. It's not like Dak is carrying the team. It's the play calling has changed right now.
It really did.
So that's the thing.
They just changed everything over the bye week. It's like they said, you know what we've been doing has not been good enough. Here's what we should do. And it's the things that as fans, we've been screaming for years. It's like, why don't you do more motion? These teams to do motion. Oh, you can see if they're doing man or not. Oh, we just stand there and just throw. Yeah. Agreed. Everything you said. Thank you.
Let's see. Going into CJ Moore or DJ Moore against Detroit. They're going to have to keep up there. And with Fields back, I do like DJ Moore a little bit more. So maybe a bump up there. Dalton Schultz against Arizona. Arizona, we've talked about, has flipped from terrible matchup or a great matchup, I should say, for tight ends.
It was terrible.
Terrible. So I hate Dalton Schultz this week.
And
especially, yeah.
They flipped the script.
Stephon Diggs in a bad matchup against, he's going to be sauced. He's going to get sauced. And that offense is not humming right now. A big downgrade probably for Stephon Diggs this week for the number three receiver. So, you know, yeah, you downgrade him, but what does that mean? Right.
I don't know. I mean, he did good week one, even though they lost, he had over 100 yards.
And then Lockett for Seattle against the Rams. The Rams give up a ton to the tight end. However, who's the tight end there that's going to be the beneficiary? I don't know.
Big Montana.
Right. So, you know, I think there are a couple of weak spots in this lineup. Going down and looking at the bench, Javonte against Minnesota, probably not. Antonio Gibson versus the Giants, no.
No.
Josh Kelly, no. Brandon Cooks against Carolina, maybe, if you think they're going to slow CeeDee down, but probably not.
No.
I think you have, unfortunately, your best lineup in. And I think that makes this pick pretty easy. I think I'm going to go Tubby.
Ooh.
Wowzers.
Wowzers is right.
Unexpected break. Cleanup is now completed.
Good.
My desk was assaulted by whiskey because my daughter caused a chain reaction that was unstoppable.
Oh,
Who's got dice this week?
I can do it.
All right. Tyler's got Tubby. I was going to. So looking at that bench, though, Tyler, I was, especially with the bad matchup for the Bills against the Jets. Cooks looks sexy to me.
If you bench Stephon Diggs for Brandon Cooks, you should be shot in the streets.
All right.
Water bet. No, I name the amount of money you want to bet on that.
Oh, that's
name the amount of money straight up you want to bet on that.
I mean, against Denver, Bills are at home last week. Stephon Diggs has 3 catches for 30 yards.
Okay.
And the Jets are an unequivocally better pass defense, are they not?
Okay. Name the number.
I didn't say I'd do it. I said he looks like a sexy
Who's your pick, Blake?
I'd do a water bet with you on it, for sure.
No, we're going to throw some money at this.
Ugh, I don't have money to throw. So I've already been doing that enough on DraftKings this year.
Who's your pick?
Fuck, I don't know. Let's go. I'm going to go Tubby with Tyler.
All right, Dice got a 1.
That's going to be Shaka's.
Yep.
Until proven otherwise, I got to go Shaka's.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. With that,
it's a tough one. Yeah, they always seem to figure it out in the end.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, our next matchup, you're not going to hear very much from me until the end, dear listener. We've got the Fly Eagles Fly at 7-3, currently projected 159 points, versus the Fantasy Reapers at 6-4, projected 140. I mean, I'll just give you my surface thoughts here. It's going to be a close one. Both teams. I mean, good job, Rob. I just want to give you congratulations having a 7-3 positive record this year.
Thank you.
I've been trying to send good vibes your way. This is good. I'm excited to watch this matchup this week. So go ahead. I'll let you take it away, Rob.
I am not.
All right. I'll go through mine. So right now I'm playing Jalen Hurts against Kansas City on Monday night. There's a part of me. I mean, both matchups are bad for Hurts and Dak Prescott. Part of me wants to ride that Prescott train, but I'm going Jalen Hurts against Kansas City. Got Christian McCaffrey playing at home against Tampa Bay. Love it. Aaron Jones playing against Chargers. Love that. AJ Brown, obviously the stack with Hurts. Waddle back healthy against Vegas. Love it. Hockenson. Oh, I'm only going to play some of the snaps. Nope. Played all the snaps, 12 catches or whatever the hell he had last week. Love him against Denver. Walker, I don't run much, but hey, a 64-yard touchdown reception. Cool. And Davante Adams should do fine against Miami. And I'm going to stick with the Chiefs defense because I have. So
I'll tell you what. This is the quintessential names versus matchup lineup. Yeah. Outside of Aaron Jones and Hockenson, every single one of your players has like a bottom 10 matchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, you got like Christian McCaffrey, who the fuck cares? Right.
Right.
You got AJ Brown. Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? Exactly.
Right. I do think Davante Adams is the one that may be most affected, especially with the rookie quarterback going up against Jalen Ramsey or even Xavien Howard. If they don't shadow, I think Davante Adams could be a problem this week for you.
It could be, and I thought about, you know, after my trades, I thought about, would I rather play George Pickens, who had against Cleveland earlier in the year, a 100-yard game? But is he really going to do that again? Because, I mean, that was week 2, and it was, you know, what's his name was still there, Deontay Johnson. But he only had 4 catches, so I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. All right. That's about it for my bench. What do you got?
Well, at quarterback, I have the Patrick Mahomes, against Philly.
Sure.
Who, Philly top 3 matchup against quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. This is for sure a matchup where, hey, Patrick Mahomes, you just put up a fucking stinker against Denver and a double stinker against Miami. Gonna need you to go ahead and do it this time. Joe Mixon against Baltimore. Don't love it. Have to play him. Jerome Ford against Pittsburgh. Fine. Middle of the road matchup, and they're going to lean on the run. Jerome Ford has produced with every quarterback he's played with this year. Not worried about him. Calvin Ridley, the quintessential.
If he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So,
got to get it done. Also, Calvin Ridley this year.
Say that last week that he had to get it done last week?
I think it was somebody else because
you sure?
Yes, because it was San Francisco who is a top 10 matchup, but now it's Tennessee, who's fucking terrible.
I don't know. Receivers. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. He hasn't come right for weeks. You should dump him.
Here's the thing with Calvin Ridley.
Wait, who's not coming?
Calvin Ridley.
Any of us, because for reasons. Calvin Ridley or the Jags have gotten by far the most yards on pass interference penalties. And the majority of those are coming where they just send Calvin Ridley on a nine route and say, hey, go draw PI, buddy. And buddy, if this was pass or points per pass interference yards, I'd be winning the goddamn league. Easy. But they're the opposite of Dallas. All they're doing is they're lining up and the D-back goes, all right, I got Calvin Ridley, goes up and presses him. And Calvin Ridley isn't good against press. He's like sixth percentile against press. And they're just like, hey, line him up against press. Let's see what happens. And it just isn't working. So, yeah, I am going to be, like, panicking if he doesn't have a game against Tennessee here. Hollywood Brown was a fingertip away from coming down with a big touchdown last week. So it's looked like he hasn't been producing. But like I said, last week, fingertip away from a big touchdown. That would have changed everything. So that's... You know, when you have a guy that is back with his college quarterback that produced last year with Kyler Murray and now gets him back, those are enough changes where the fact that we're that far away from a big game in week one, I'm going to take that as a positive. Travis Kelce against Philly. Philly secondary, not good. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
Going to need that to happen. I'm going to need a solid 200. Karma is scoring 200 yards against Philly for all the Swifties out there. Tony Pollard against Carolina. Let me go ahead and just do this again.
If he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So
Tony Pollard is trash and I need him to do anything. Rico fucking Dwaddle looks better than you.
Oh, and God,
why
doesn't
did Dallas pay you?
I don't. They didn't. They franchised
They franchised him, so
okay,
he's getting
that's
paid
not
like
paying him. Okay, fine.
12
that's
million
why they didn't resign. That's why they didn't sign him to a long term deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Devonta Smith versus Kansas City. You know what? I just really need this game to be a shootout, and I need AJ Brown to not be the guy.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. If you're the guy, I got Jalen Hurts. It's fine
that's
with me.
That's fine. As long as AJ Brown isn't the guy.
A little offset.
I think we talked about We may not have talked about this last week because they were on bye, but last year when Goddard was out, that was
We did talk about it.
Nuclear.
Yeah. He can go nuclear.
That's really what
I'm just throwing it. I'm fine.
Yeah. But that's really what I'm banking on with Smith going into my bench. Not a ton here. You know, let me tell you, Dwaddle versus Pollard is a very real question in a week where I think Dallas is going to clean up and Dwaddle's going to get work like he did last week. It's a question of what's going to happen. I do think that they hear the media thing about Pollard and maybe try to get him going. Go ahead.
No, I was going to wait till you're done, but I was going to talk about somebody else I might change on my bench. But go ahead. Finish up.
No, I don't like Jackson Smith and Jigba. Again, we've talked about my receivers. I'm kind of waiting for somebody to break out and – So far, no one really has. I do have Achan in the IR, so if all of a sudden he is activated, he will be in this lineup. I can tell you that right now. So we'll see what happens between now and then.
Yeah, let's hope that that is a thing that they wait for next week and make sure he's, you know, fully healthy, right?
Well,
nope.
I'm not sure it's going to help either way.
Right. So I we talked about Davante Adams, right?
Yep.
And maybe I can't put Pickens in there. I might put Ty Chandler in there. If Madison doesn't play, Denver is the worst team against the run. And that might be a thing. So, anyway.
So, before we go into picking them, I wasn't here for most of you guys' matchup. Rob, did you discuss at all the possibility of starting Dak at Carolina over Jalen Hurts this week?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I talked about it at the beginning, but because of the situation of who I'm playing, I really, if I were to put Dak in, I would have to put all the coins in Dak doing so much better than Hurts, that he doesn't help AJ Brown, and that Tyler playing Devontae Smith, I don't get some offset there. You follow me?
Yeah. So no,
based
on
my matchup, I have to play Hurts.
I just wanted to make sure that it was brought up because.
Yes. Oh, because Dak's been hot as shit.
Dak's last three games, minimum of 51.
But the defenses, I think Kansas City is number four against quarterbacks, and Carolina is number three.
Yeah, I would have to look at the like schedule adjusted ratings of that because I think it might be a little bit skewed on ESPN because Carolina's had a slightly
better
schedule. But
yes, but still. All right.
Carolina, the second worst matchup for quarterbacks.
There you go. Adjusted. There you go.
Okay. Well.
All right, let's do it.
I'm going to roll Fly Eagles Fly.
Okay. Dice. It's odd.
That's Reapers. Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Nope.
Tyler, you're first.
Ah, host says.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory.
Fly,
Eagles, fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3.
Love the two hole.
You know, I'm so glad this hasn't happened for the last like 8 weeks. Ugh. Gross. Okay. So obviously, does that mean you're taking me?
No, well, that means he's taking.
I'll tell you exactly who I am going to take.
No, don't do it again.
Stop.
I love the two hole.
I do love the two hole.
You deserve that.
Me?
Yeah,
you're
you.
Asking that? Fine, I'll take me too. Let's go.
Hang on, Tyler. Who are you taking in this matchup?
No, no, don't do it. No.
I love the two hole.
God, it sounds so better sped up.
Oh boy.
One second. Let me do one more thing here.
No, please don't. Please.
God,
that's too slow.
I love the two hole. That was one of the most stuffed things I've ever heard.
God, that hurt me internally.
Fucking Christ.
Oh, if you didn't hear me, I'm going to take me too. So it's 3-1. Let's go.
Thank God.
Right.
I need a nap after that matchup.
Right? My neck hurts after that.
Christ. Our next matchup is the Scary Terry 1-9. They're projected a invigorating 108 points.
Wow.
For the Corn Wieners, they are 4-6, projected 142. You know where this one's lying. As it lies, it's not lying well. It's going to have a hurt back in the morning, this matchup.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I got you. There's going to be changes. Well, Terry hasn't changed his lineup since last week.
Oh, I think he has.
Yeah, I think he has.
No.
Well, let's go through it then.
The exact team I played last week.
We've got Joe Burrow at Baltimore, Miles Sanders and Latavius Murray at the running backs playing at home. Deontay Johnson, questionable. And Chris Godwin on the road for the receivers. Evan Ingram, home against Tennessee at tight end. The flex spots are Cortland Sutton and Jacoby Myers with the Steelers defense at Cleveland.
Nice. I like that. That was a very good Rick and Morty burp. Are you asking me about this?
Yeah.
All right. So he's not playing Miles Sanders or Latavius Murray, probably. He's playing James Conner, more than likely. He's also probably, if he's smart, not playing, I don't know, half his team.
Sorry, but you can't bench your half your team and expect a victory.
I think Puka Nacua is coming back in here and taking the place of, like, I don't know, make your pick, Jacoby Myers, because they're not looking his way with the rookie quarterback in there.
Unfortunately, they are not.
Right. I think you're still playing the Steelers defense. But yeah, you got to get Connor in here. You got to get Nacua in here. And, you know, you're behind. Shoot the moon with Racy Rice. Why not? You're not doing great with Chris Godwin. He hasn't done shit. So that's what I would do. That's just me, Mr. Vegas.
Yeah, you're in a fucking hole here, Scary Terry. 1-9.
Yeah, you gotta shoot
play
for
it. You gotta play your upside guys, and that's gonna be like Rob said. It's gonna be Puka Nacua, Rashee Rice. You could probably, I mean, he's not affecting your roster all that much, but Zach Ertz and Zay Jones in your IR spots are droppable people in redraft.
Oh yeah,
you don't need them on your roster anymore. Granted, they're not taking up an active roster spot, but
they're not. But it's obvious Zach Ertz is going to come back to anything, right? Yep. So, yeah.
All right, Tyler, let's go through the Iowa Corn Wieners. We've got Sam Howell home against the Giants at quarterback. Running backs are Saquon Barkley and Rashad White, both on the road. Saquon is a Q, but he's always questionable.
Yeah, he's fine.
Receivers are Brandon Ayuk and Tyreek Hill, both at home. Dalton Kincaid home against the Jets for – did I say Dalton Kincaid?
You did.
Okay, my brain said, you didn't say his name. You said tight end at home against the Jets.
You did. No, you said his name in full.
Flex is Jordan Addison and Brian Robinson, and with the defense of the Commanders home against the Giants.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love the Kincaid matchup. Tyreek is Tyreek, obviously. Brandon Ayuk, really good matchup against Tampa Bay. However, they are back to full strength, and I don't remember what Ayuk – they were back to full strength last week, right?
Who?
And Debo back?
Yeah, Debo's back. Yes. They're all fantastic.
Yeah, so Ayuk down to 3 targets, but converted all 3 of them for 55 yards and a touchdown. So saved his game. I think there are quite a few not good matchups. And like Saquon, you have to downgrade with Danny Dimes being gone the rest of the year. Like, you know, there are quite a few not great matchups here on this team.
So, Tyler, as far as the bench goes, are you looking at Trevor Lawrence home against Tennessee over Sam Howell? Or, I mean, at a stretch play, Gabe Davis? It's the Jets. Bad pass defense or bad matchup for receivers. But, like you said earlier, Sauce is going to be all over Stephon Diggs. Davis might be open. But you're also starting Kincaid.
That's the thing.
You'd have to be in a bad way to start Gabe Davis. I might be looking Michael Wilson's way.
I'd rather play Noah Brown.
Sorry.
Especially if.
Yeah, I know. I was getting Collins there. Out.
Oh, God. Come on. Get there.
Yeah. Noah Brown definitely is the play here on this bench over Gabe Davis, over Michael Wilson. And as far as Trevor Lawrence goes, I just don't know who you can trust right now. Like, Trevor Lawrence has not been good at all. Like, definitely has regressed back. So yeah. I don't know.
Rob, what's your pick on this one? And then roll the dice.
Give me the wieners, baby.
It's like you had to consider it or something. It's definitely
just breathing heavy. That's a 10 even.
Oh, God. The dice is taking Terry.
They're doing it.
Oh, yeah, that's the only one.
Every week, I pray that Terry can win one. And with the dice on your side, you're screwed.
Right?
All right. Next matchup is the Fighting Hedgehogs at 4-6, projected 131 points, versus Cut My Teabags at 6-4, projected 144 points.
All right.
Tyler, the Hogs starting lineup is Justin Herbert at Green Bay, Isaiah Pacheco and Gus Edwards at the running back spot, both at home. Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf on the road at a receiver. Garrett Wilson's carrying a questionable tag. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I think he's been a little bit banged up all year. Mark Andrews home at Cincinnati for the tight end. Flexes are Cole Kmet and Tank Dell with the Bills defense at home against the Jets.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is another team that has all bad matchups all the way down. I mean, Kmet is maybe fine. Tank Dell against Arizona is fine. But, like, the best case scenario you have is a 15th matchup. Like, you have no top 10 matchups at all. And you have guys like Isaiah Pacheco with, like, horrendous, the worst matchup. You know, Gus Edwards with, he had middle of the pack. Who else was it? Herbert doesn't have a good matchup. Mark Andrews has a great matchup against Cincinnati, and maybe that carries you. But yeah, pretty tough matchups all the way down, and I think you might need some upside here.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the bench. Obviously, Madison, we covered in the injury portion, he's not going to be playing. Tyler, where do you sit on Jahan Dotson? It's a bad or a good receiver matchup. They're home against the Giants. Jahan Dotson at Seattle last week, 2 targets, 0 catches. The 3 weeks before that, 8 targets. Pretty solid performances. Is he finding a way into this matchup against the high school team that is the Giants?
I think you got to play him over Cole Kmet. I think playing Cole Kmet against Detroit is like playing after last week where he scored 2 touchdowns probably on your bench. So yeah, I think I would play Jahan Dotson. And obviously if Madison plays, you hammer him in with the risk. I don't care. Denver's that bad. You have to play whoever is the running back against Denver.
As far as the rest of this bench, I mean, I'm not seeing Ken Gainwell, Chuba Hubbard, Alan Lazard finding your way into the lineup. You can't trust Traylon Burks coming off an injury. He hasn't even shown anything in general. But I am trying to look at the waiver wire here because you have Josh Palmer on this bench who's tagged IR. You can free up a bench spot. Tyler, is anybody out here worth a spot start this week in like a Sky Moore for
no Sky Moore? Sky Moore shouldn't be on the Chiefs roster, let alone your fantasy roster.
What about Rondale?
Who are they playing? No, targets. They're playing Houston. No, you're not playing Rondale Moore.
8 targets last week home against Atlanta.
No.
Fuck. No, it's Jonathan Mingo. I mean, it's against Dallas.
No. Mingo ate your baby.
Mingo is basically the handcuff to Thielen.
Yeah. I just wanted to look at some guys out here and toss them out. Any of these people worth, I mean, Jerick McKinnon. We know that Hoggs is a Chiefs fan.
No, he hasn't done shit all year.
Yeah, but you're not. No.
All right. Well, let's move over.
This is somebody that should have spent up for Ty Chandler who his team should have been.
Yeah. So, Rob, cut my tea bags. CJ Stroud. They're sticking on the Stroud train. Houston is at home against
Stroud Arizona. Boys.
What?
The Stroud boys.
Stroud boys.
Running backs, we've got Derrick Henry and Daryl Henderson Jr., Terry McLaurin and Keenan Allen at receiver. Keenan Allen carrying that shoulder. We're going to find it a lot more tomorrow.
Right.
After when the practice tour comes through tomorrow evening. So I would assume that he'll probably play. Tight end, Jake Ferguson at Carolina. Flex is Cooper Kupp. And Nico Collins, questionable, did not play last week. Both players are at home. And then the Lions defense home against Chicago.
Yeah, so this team, I mean, yeah, I like Stroud. Henry should be fine. No, actually, he shouldn't be. Jacksonville's really good against the run. I don't like Henderson. McLaurin, whatever. The linchpins here are Keenan Allen and Nico Collins. Do they play? If they both play, should be fine. Should be a good week for them. If they both of them don't play, well, then we've got problems. Because on our bench, there isn't much to go after here. Higgins is already out. Mostert, maybe you put him in, I guess. And Irwin, I guess you'd have to put him in. And then you're looking at a much closer matchup here. So it's really pivots on the health of Allen and Collins, Blake.
Yeah, so as it stands here, there's three quarterbacks on this roster, and I can actually see why. Joshua Dobbs is probably the weakest quarterback on the roster, but I see why you're holding on to him. Right. You don't really want anybody to have him, to play him against you. He's been pretty hot the last couple of games, especially moving to Minnesota. But, Rob, where do you stand on Justin Fields, off completely off the injury report, starting on Sunday at Detroit?
I mean, you want to see how he does. Detroit's not the best matchup, you know, for him. Neither is really the next week they play Cleveland. But if he gets back into you know, the groove of things, Arizona and Atlanta, the last 2 weeks of the season are great. So for a team that's, you know, looks like they probably will make the playoffs at 6-4, I mean, he's a great quarterback for the playoffs. You know, you don't like him now. And so that's probably why he's hung on to him. But, yeah, going forward, you don't need to carry three quarterbacks, is evidenced by my trade with you today. I didn't need to keep three.
Yeah, so there's a couple we can pick about this, the way that this team is handled. He's been succeeding this year. But Devin Singletary needs to find a way in the starting lineup, in my opinion. Damian Pierce is looking doubtful to play this week. Arizona. Not the best defense in the world, but there's also two completely empty bench spots on this team.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing. If they did it because they think Herbert and Williams are both coming back this week, so they cleared it so they could bring them out. I don't know. But yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, maybe they'll grab somebody before the weekend's out if these guys stay on IR. But yeah, as it sits right now, there's some changes that may have to be made for you because of the Allen and Collins thing.
Sorry, I just want to triple check. You guys said that Singletary has to be in this lineup, right?
I did, for sure.
Perfect.
Blake said that, yeah.
Singletary is without a doubt in my lineup in my other redraft league, and I feel very confident in that start. And I think he definitely needs to be in this lineup, probably instead of Daryl Henderson Jr., but, you know, the Nico Collins injury is going to decide a lot for this roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would put him in over Henderson as well. So, all right,
so picking, I'm going to have Tyler go first, and then Dice.
I've gone either first or second every single pick the last 3 weeks.
That's untrue.
No, you went last, literally the last matchup.
No, I didn't.
Second to last.
You picked, and then I went, okay, all of the rest of us are taking wieners, right?
That's perfect.
I said Rob first, then Dice, and then he did those. Then I said me, and then you went last.
No, I'm wrong.
There you go. All right.
And you were second to last on your own matchup, so fuck off.
Pick.
Oh, we're all taking tea bags, right?
I mean, you are, obviously. Dice rolled a 9, which is odd.
That's
tea bags.
Okay.
Rob?
I'm going to assume tea bags makes the necessary corrections. So, yes, I will go tea bags.
I really want to pick the Hogs, but I don't think they're going to win.
All right.
Because I really want the tea bags to lose. But for the record, I'm going to go tea bags.
Such a roundabout way of you guys just being able to say, yes, we are all taking tea bags.
Well, it wasn't just a slam dunk, but all right.
It's going to be closer than you might think.
I think so, too.
All right. Our final matchup, the Commissioner's Cup.
Boop-a-doop.
Because it's back at home, people. It's where it belongs. And
I don't have it yet.
The cup belongs in the back door.
Yeah.
With the snakes.
With the
snakes. Does it have a flared base?
terrible. I hate,
because otherwise else, that's Danger Time.
How else do you keep it in place, Tyler?
If it's I'm just making sure, because otherwise it could really slip up in there.
We're not rookies over here.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
The kegerator is
friends. Look out for their friends' assholes.
I don't want to look at any of yours, so let's move on.
The kegerator is 3-7, projecting 117 points, versus the Backdoor Hot Snakes at 5-5, projecting 145 points.
Oh, God.
I'll let you guys go through the kegerator, and I don't care who leads it. One of you pick, figure it out. Fine.
So we got Lamar Jackson.
Stinks.
Tomorrow against Cincinnati. Damian Pierce questionable, who might.
Thursday night. Can't do it. Bad.
Yeah. Damian Pierce against Arizona. I mean,
stinks.
Yeah. And may not even play. James Cook against the Jets.
Fumbles. Stinks.
Yeah. Jerry Jeudy against Minnesota.
Oh. Good matchup. Stinks.
Amari Cooper with a different quarterback now against Pittsburgh.
Oh, great matchup. Still stinks.
Yeah. George Kittle against Tampa Bay.
Stinks.
David Montgomery against the Chicago's, his former team.
Stinks, but he's going up against the Little Sisters of the Blind.
Also true. Kareem Hunt against the Pitts. Bergs.
Sure, whatever. Play a third string running back. Stinks.
Yeah, and the Jag defense, who's been good this year against Tennessee. Is that a fart you're trying to get?
Yep.
Your mic did not pick that up.
Oh, it didn't. Caught it as background noise. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you just had your tongue out. There was nothing.
Yep. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. And there's nothing
here,
on this.
Let me go ahead and put in a quick Google here.
All right. Anyway, there's nothing on this bench. This bench is a lot of garbage and people on buys or hurt. Oh, there it went.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot.
Wait, Rob, go through this starting lineup again.
Okay, Lamar, Pierce, James Cook, Amari Cooper, George Kittle, Jim Montgomery, Kareem Hunt, and the Jags defense. Wow, Nate's gonna love this. And there's it's his best lineup because he has everybody's either hurt or on a bye. Just egregious.
Well, that was an incredibly timed long one.
That was a good long one.
That one like reverberated the microphone, but it was obviously played through your computer, so I don't know how it sounded so
I don't either.
Oh, one more.
Blake, you're up with your team. There's some leftover. Blake, what about your team here?
Jesus Christ.
Right.
I didn't realize Nate's team was so.
Well, the fact that you're favored by 30 should tell you that it's so garbage.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah.
Wait.
I snorted.
I might not have been as cute as I think I do.
Buddy, we're only halfway through the video. We got so many more fart sounds.
Please go about your team there, Blake. What do you think of Jared Goff?
I'm starting Jared Goff home against Chicago.
Beautiful. You can't fart against Blake's team. His farts are not applicable.
I've got Austin Eckler at Green Bay and Bruce Hall at Buffalo. Mike Evans, who's carrying a Q tag, but he always is. Tyler, mute yourself.
Yes, you're correct. Always carrying Q. Yes,
Amon-Ra St. Brown also home against Chicago. Sam Chicago got three people in that on that Detroit's offense.
Oh yeah, against Chicago, yeah, baby.
Flex, I got Jaylen Warren at Cleveland and Debo home against Tampa Bay with the Cowboys defense at Carolina.
Love it.
I feel pretty confident in this starting lineup. The Lions' offense is trucking. They freaking slaughtered the Chargers last week, and I mean, they're probably going to put it hard to Chicago.
I like it.
The bench, obviously, I might, you know, make some snap decisions on Sunday and restart Josh Allen back up there home against the Jets. But I really, truly hate that matchup. And I feel good about Goff. And I really want to see what the offense is going to look like with the new coordinator, especially against the Jets. I don't want to hinge my fantasy week, especially in what should be an easy matchup. Last week is supposed to be an easy matchup, guys, and it wasn't.
Right. Like, what does your heart say?
Trust a failing Josh Allen this week. I want to see what's going to happen.
What does your heart say?
My heart says start the Lions.
Like,
well, I'll tell you what, your heart should say.
I've said not all year, follow your heart.
To start either DeAndre Hopkins or to start Keaton Mitchell.
DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. They're not at home. They're against Jacksonville, who I think last week against a fired up San Francisco team coming off the bye is an anomaly for the Jacksonville defense. Playing against a rookie, Will Levis has come back down to earth. I don't foresee Hopkins had what, two targets last week in like two catches.
Also, Jacksonville played Tampa Bay last week. You said San Francisco.
What?
No, sorry. Yeah. Tennessee played Tampa Bay. You said San Francisco.
No, but he was saying that San Francisco
played Jacksonville.
Yes.
Ah.
And this week, Tennessee is playing Jacksonville.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my point, Tyler, let me spill it out to you. Jacksonville looked bad against San Francisco last week coming off their bye. I think that's an anomaly for the Jacksonville defense. I think they will look fine against the Tennessee offense with the rookie quarterback. Boom. Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, that's analysis. Exactly the words you use.
Jacksonville is a bottom half or a good matchup for receivers.
Yeah, but Will Levis is a bad quarterback.
I don't think we know that.
I think we have a pretty good idea of that. So, again, just like Josh Allen, I'm going to wait and see. I have other options that are better, and I think that this is going to go better than what I could have. Jaylen Warren, while Cleveland is a really good defense, Jaylen Warren gets the passing work out of the backfield. He's far more athletic as far as making cuts and finding open holes than Najee Harris is. So,
and he's getting the start for the first time.
And he's getting starting reps. So I'm gonna just go with that place. And then the rest of my team is upside in Keaton Mitchell and handcuffs in other guys.
There you go.
So this is my best starting lineup with a couple of tweaks that I talked about.
All right. Let's just pick this because it's the Kegger's
nut. Hey, Rob, make sure that Tyler goes last here.
Okay. Okay. Dice is going first. They get a 12. That's even.
That'll be Keggerator.
Oh my God!
I'm taking the snakes.
I'll be taking.
You didn't go last. All right, mark it.
There you go. God! All right, that's it. That's it for this week's podcast. You guys have any parting words for our folks out there?
I mean, God help you, Kegrator. God help you, Chris. You guys are battling for the end, and Chris has got a 2-game lead, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fuck them both. Let's get out of here, folks. Get it.